reaction involves emotions and it's immediate. But when you respond, you actually evaluate the situation first before you act. You think things through. Reaction is to do with self-preservation. Peter wanted to preserve them. It's to do with self-preservation. But when you respond, you take into consideration your values and your objective. This is not me. I'm not going to do that. What is the objective here? The objective is that I'm going to the cross to die to save mankind. So I'm not going to let these guys distract me from my purpose. Hallelujah. Shall we pray? Father, I thank you so much for this morning. I was glad when they said unto me, let us come into the house of the Lord. Thank you, Father, that you have the final say in every situation. I pray that, Father, let your word today give somebody a new testimony, God. Let it put a new song into somebody's mouth today, God. Take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it around for good, O God. But above all, Father, glorify your name in the lives of your children this morning. I give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, earlier this week, I was making my way home from work, a bit late in the evening. And as I was getting to Wembley Park Station, I see this young guy, maybe about 25, you know, coming towards me, and I'm thinking, well, I see one. So, you know, I was just bracing myself just in case, you know. Then he comes to me and says, look, I'm sorry for the way I'm approaching you, but I'm just really trying to just speak to people, just encourage people, just pray for them even if they want prayer. I'm like, wow, that's really kind of you. I mean, at this time. So I said to him, like, what was the general response? Like, how are people? So, well, some people are open arms. They'll take prayer. They'll take anything. Others, too, are like, no, I don't want to know. Yeah, but I said, wow. But as I was talking to this guy, I just remembered something that I'd read earlier in the week called pandemic fatigue. It's not a medical condition. It's a term used to describe people's natural response to the prolonged nature of the pandemic, or the uncertainties and the disruption that is caused by the pandemic. You know, and it's interesting because some of the signs of this pandemic, how do you call it, fatigue, is a lack of motivation, you know, irritability, things like stress, you know, things that you normally do without stress and you do it and you begin to stress. But there's one thing that hit me, feelings of hopelessness. And that's why that guy was out there in the street trying to reach out to people, encouraging people, just strengthening them. You know, I mean, thank God we are not out of the woods yet, but, you know, we are not where we used to be. You know, I remember the days where people were panic buying, you know, just hoarding. And the sad thing is, you know, in the end, some of the things they bought, they even had to throw away. It went into waste. You know, it's interesting because people were making money out of other people's anxiety. Yeah. And that's how the devil is. He profits from your anxiety. He profits from your fear. And maybe that's why God, in his wisdom, he says, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about anything. He says, do not be anxious. But in every situation, and that includes your situation you may be in right now, in every situation, that situation you're in right now that is taking your sleep away, you know, the situation you're in right now that is stopping you from even eating well, the situation you're in right now that is causing you so much stress, it says in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God. Now, this peace is not the kind that you get when you go on holiday. It's a different kind of peace. And that's why he says, and the peace of God, that transcends understanding. It's beyond your understanding. It will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. It says, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. And I can almost hear somebody say, well, it's easy for you to say, do not be anxious, because you're not the one who has to pay the bills. Or you're not the one going through all that stress. You're right. I may not be the one. I'm only the messenger. Don't shoot me. But I know God knows what you are going through. Listen, every believer, every child of God, let me say this, every situation you go in seeks to reveal who God is. Every situation you go through seeks to reveal who God is. My point is, circumstances doesn't change God. It reveals who God is. It reveals who God is. No matter how bad it may seem or sound, whatever you go through seeks to reveal who. How do I know I serve a God who can make a way where there is no way unless I get to a point where I can't see any way? How do I know? And so you see that the Israelites, they got to a place, they got to the Red Sea. Now they couldn't cross, and behind them was Pharaoh. And they began to cry unto God. And God said to Moses, stretch your rod over the Red Sea and depart. At that point, they knew that we serve a God who can make a way where there's no way. God promised Abraham a child. After 20 years, nothing was happening. And he's thinking, my God, can this God be trusted? It's been 20 years now and nothing is happening. Can this God be trusted? But it turns out that in the 25th year, it happens. When he's 100 years old and Sarah is 90, God still turns it around and they have a child. He kept his promise. At that point, in that situation, he knew that, or he knows that, he serves a God who breaks precedents, not promises. And so every situation you go in seeks to reveal the will of God. It seeks to reveal who God is. You know, one of the side effects I mentioned about this pandemic fatigue is feelings of hopelessness. There's a scripture in the Bible that any time I read, it reminds me of abject hopelessness. It's the one that God says to Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? Right. You know, and for the sake of those who don't know the story, Ezekiel is standing over this valley or looking down into this valley, and all he can see is dry bones. And God says to him, can these bones come back to life? Can they come back to life? He wasn't even sure. But God caused all those bones to become human beings again. Abject hopelessness, but God turned it around. You know, the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same forever. I like what Pastor Joe said a few weeks back. He says there's no expiry date. The word of God has no expiry date. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same forever. It's talking about three time periods, your past, your present, and your future. All of them taken care of. All of them taken care of. Listen, if God can't turn your situation around, then he's not the same. If he can't change your situation, then he's not the same. And that's why he says, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. But in every situation, by prayer. By prayer. Prayer does many things. But one of the things that I know prayer does is that it develops a deeper relationship with God. It develops a deeper relationship with God. Do you know there are some things you can only enjoy depending on the relationship you have with somebody? Right. Yeah. There are some things you can only enjoy depending on the relationship you have with somebody. You see, the strength of a relationship does not depend on the length of time you've known the person, but on the foundation you've built together. That's why you can see some Christians, they've been in church 10, 15, 20 years, and they're still baby Christians. It's nothing to do with the length of time, but the foundation you've built together. Any relationship that's shaky, check the foundation. Check the foundation. So it's the foundation you build with God that helps you through life. Let me show you something. Acts chapter 10. Turn your Bibles with me. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, I'll read from verse 1. It says, at Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. Make that point, make that note. He prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 in the afternoon, three in the afternoon was the hour of prayer. He had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as the memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He's staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. So Cornelius here, this Cornelius. Now let me say, Cornelius was a Gentile. Now in those days, the Jews didn't really regard the Gentiles. He was like an underdog compared to the Jews. No respect, they were considered as unclean. You know, the Jews in those days, they could be very ethnocentric. Nothing, didn't want anything to do with the Gentiles. So this guy, he goes to pray. And as he's praying, he has a vision. And God tells him in the vision to go, send for Peter to come to where you are. Because he's got a message for you that you have to respond to so I can take you to the next level in our relationship. Because when Peter prays for this guy, the Holy Spirit descends upon that guy. So Cornelius obeys and he sends men to go and get Peter. Now, what strikes me about this story is, you know, it was at the time of prayer that he had his time of visitation. It was during prayer that he had his time of visitation. Now, I'm not saying prayer is the only requirement for your time of visitation to come, but it definitely helps. It's an opportunity you can't miss. There's nothing more expensive than a missed opportunity. Nothing more expensive. You don't know when your time of visitation may come. Look at Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Verse 41. Can I have that in the New American Standard Version, please? Luke chapter 19, verse 41. I'm not on Wi-Fi. It says, as he approached Jerusalem, it says, when he approached Jerusalem, this is Jesus, he saw the city and wept over it. Next verse, please. Saying, if you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. Next verse. Jesus entered the... No. Luke chapter 19, verse 41. Let's go back to 41. When he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it. Yeah, let's go on. Saying, if you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. Next verse, please. Jesus entered, it's missing 43. I'm not getting the New American Standard Version here. Yeah. Don't worry, I'll just do the... Pardon? Did you say my iPad was cheap? You gave me this. All right, let's read it. Work with me, please. Work with me. Verse 41. Let me just get that. I'm not sure why it's missing. It says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground. This is 44. You and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the day of your visitation. You did not recognize the day of your visitation, he says. And you think, how did they not recognize the day of their visitation? So Jesus is approaching Jerusalem for the last time before he goes onto the cross. And as he's approaching Jerusalem, he looks over Jerusalem and the Messiah himself begins to weep over Jerusalem. He begins to cry over Jerusalem because of the destruction that is coming upon Jerusalem. And then he says it's because they did not recognize their time of visitation. In other words, these guys were spiritually asleep. They were spiritually asleep. They were spiritually dead. How do you awaken somebody who is spiritually dead? By prayer. Prayer. By prayer. So these guys were spiritually dead. And he said, "You because you did not recognize your time of visitation. There's nothing more expensive than a missed opportunity. I'd rather pray and not have anything They are not like Pastor Joe always says, it's always better to prepare for an opportunity than an opportunity arrives and then you don't get it. Yeah. Anyway, so Cornelius sends men to go and get Peter. Now God is working on Peter at the same time because Peter is also getting ready to pray. And as he's about to pray, he sees a trance. And in the trance, the heaven opens. And the Bible says a sheet drops from the heaven with different kinds of animals inside. And it says, a voice said, arise, kill and eat. Peter said, never. These are unclean animals. How can I kill and eat? Three times the voice said it. Three times, arise, kill and eat. He said, Lord, but these are unclean animals. And God said, never call anything unclean that I have called clean. Never. So Peter wakes up from the trance and he's confused, still thinking about this vision that he had. And then the three men that Cornelius had sent arrives to his house and the Spirit speaks to him and says, Peter, go, I've sent guys to come and get you to Caesarea. He didn't have a choice. And so he makes his way and he goes. And listen, the minute that guy gets to Cornelius' house, you know what he says? He says, Cornelius, you know it's against the law for a Jew like me to associate with Gentiles like you. But I've had to come here against my will because God has instructed it. I don't approve of it, but I've had to come because God instructs me. Or God has instructed me. It's amazing what you can draw into your life if you pray. Don't joke with people who know how to pray. They will dislocate you one time. Honestly, they will dislocate you. He pulls that into his life. I said, Cornelius, he said, so, Cornelius, Peter says to Cornelius, here am I. So why did you send for me? And then Cornelius says, Peter, look, and I'm paraphrasing. He says, look, I respect you coming here. I respect you, and I'm humbled by your presence. But right now, and I know you don't approve of this, but right now, listen, I don't need man's approval because I've got God's permission. I don't need man's approval because I have God's permission. And Peter, listen, hate it or love it, the underdog's on top. On top, and I'm going to shine until my heart stops. Listen, prayer makes you shine until the day you die. Listen, David was an underdog, wasn't he? Yeah. David was an underdog compared to Goliath. 10 times bigger, 10 times stronger. But just before he fought Goliath, he prayed a prayer. Say, you come against me. You come against me with sword and spear and javelin. But I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel. The God of Israel. And that giant fell down like a brick of stones. He just fell down. The God of Israel. Who is your God? Look at Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42. Verse 10, it says, after Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. Let me ask you a question. When did God restore his fortunes? After he had prayed. God restored his fortunes after he had prayed. He restored his fortunes after he had prayed. Listen, you don't have to like prayer. You don't have to like prayer. There's no rule or law which says you should like prayer. But you have to respect prayer. You have to respect prayer. When you begin to see the impact of prayer in your life as a result of your respect for it, nobody will tell you to like prayer. I'm telling you. Nobody. You don't have to like it. You just have to respect it. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Thanksgiving is another thing. Do you know thanksgiving is an attitude thing? Thanksgiving is an attitude thing. Back in the garden, when God created everything for Adam and Eve, he gave them all the variety of fruits and everything. He said, look, this is yours, have it. But there's only one thing that you can't touch, which is off limits. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they were okay. They said, Lord, we hear you. We're not going to touch it. And life was okay in the garden until somebody reared his ugly head in that garden, the devil, and convinced Eve to eat the fruit. Convinced it to eat the fruit. As soon as it ate the fruit, God said, Eve, what have you done? But you know, the Bible says, when Eve saw that it was pleasing to the eye and good for food, she took some of it and ate it. See, anytime you let your nature have its way instead of the will of God, it breeds all sorts of problems. Ingratitude is one of them. Ingratitude is one of them. Ingratitude. Say thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. And so God comes down and he says, Eve, what have you done? And let me say this, God didn't come down to come and judge them. I don't believe that. If he wanted to judge them, he wouldn't have come down. He had made it clear that if you eat of the fruit, you would die. That's judgment enough. He didn't have to come down. I believe he came down to try and reconcile them, hoping that if he would give them the chance to repent. Give them the chance to repent. Have you eaten of this? Of course he knew they had eaten of it. But instead of saying, Lord, I'm sorry, I got it wrong. Eve was trying to justify her actions. She was trying to justify. The devil made me. The serpent made me. Listen, when you know somebody loves you, when you know somebody loves you and you wrong them, just apologize. I mean, yet to see anybody who died or who choked and died as a result of swallowing their pride. No. I'm here to see anybody. No, just apologize. But here is God in the God himself has come down. Listen, Jesus is the Son of God. I can't remember any time that God himself came down to talk to him. He was saying angels or anything. But God himself comes down just to reconcile with this guy, try to give them the chance to repent. All they could have said, God, I got it wrong, forgive me. And I tell you, the outcome would have been different. But they were trying to justify, I didn't do it. God said, you know what, I'm not getting anywhere with you. Let's try the man, because maybe he's more intelligent. After all, he named all the animals, and all I had to do was endorse it. Adam, what happened? The woman you gave me. You are more foolish than the woman even. The woman I gave you, this woman was supposed to be a blessing in your life. Your ingratitude is turning it into a curse. Wow. It's turning it into a curse. Curse is the ground, he said to Adam. Honestly. But you know what I learned from that story? You know what I learned from that story? That you are responsible for how you act, no matter how you feel. Wow. No matter how you feel, you are responsible for how you act. You can never let your emotions overpower your intelligence at any point. Honestly, I remember in the garden just before Jesus was crucified, the Bible says an army came for him. And Peter, you know Peter the way, he said, no, if we are going down, you guys are going down with us. He takes a sword and he cuts off one of the ears of the soldiers. Jesus goes, no. If I needed people to fight for me, I can call on my Father in heaven. And he sent angels to come and fight for me. Takes the ear and puts it back. You see, anytime emotions are involved, You react. See, reaction involves emotions and it's immediate. But when you respond, you actually evaluate the situation first before you act. You think things through. Reaction is to do with self-preservation. Peter wanted to preserve them. It's to do with self-preservation. But when you respond, you take into consideration your values and your objectives. This is not me. I'm not going to do that. What is the objective here? The objective is that I'm going to the cross to die to save mankind. So I'm not going to let these guys distract me from my purpose. Anytime you react, you give control away. But anytime you respond, you stay in control. Honestly. You can never let your emotions overpower your intelligence at any point in time. And I'm saying, and yes, listen, the devil, it's true, the devil influenced Eve. But still, God didn't consider that. He didn't. So you are responsible for how you act, no matter how you feel. You can't say, oh no, they started first. No, they threw the blow first. No. You can't control what they do, but you can control your attitude. Amen. You know, you can't. You know, some people think that, you know, the reason why I was using this story in the garden is that they had everything in the garden. It was just that one thing that God said, don't touch, for good reasons. And yet they forgot all about that and kept their focus on that, just that one thing that God said you shouldn't touch. And sometimes we are like that. We forget everything that God has done for us. and concentrate on that, just that one thing that we think we are believing God for that God is not giving us. Now, I'm not saying don't believe God for things. No, of course, believe God for things. But whilst you're waiting for it to manifest, learn to thank Him. Learn to thank Him. Because some people think if they don't get what they want, they can never be happy in life. And as a result, they are not grateful. They think, now, if I don't have this, I can never be happy in life. Let me tell you something. Happiness is a choice. It's a choice. Not a result. Nothing can make you happy unless you choose to be happy. Happiness comes from you, not to you. Do you understand? So let's learn to be grateful. Let's learn to be grateful. Let's learn to show gratitude to God. Because it's key. You see, the outcome here is what? It's our peace. That is our outcome. It says, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Present it to Him. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart. In other words, listen, if you give me my, if you give me your problems, I'll put my peace in your heart. I'll put my peace in your heart. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious. I remember 4 or 5 days ago, around 11 p.m., I got a voice note from somebody. Say, Godfrey, pray for me. Pray for me. My wife is being deported tomorrow morning. This is 11. And I'm thinking, at this time, where am I going to? All the lawyers I know are asleep. What am I going to do? But I know an advocate who never sleeps. Never sleeps. So I call, hallelujah. I call the guy back just to ascertain what this thing was all about. I spoke to the guy. And I tried to encourage him. I said, how is your wife? Is she okay? He said, yes. Well, tell her not to panic. Tell her not to fret. Because, listen, being afraid will never change the outcome of anything. Anxiety will never change the outcome, but prayer can. So I hung the phone, and I prayed only what, maybe a minute, or maybe even less. And I just prayed and I left it. The next day, I waited in the evening. I sent him a text. How did it go? Said the Home Office canceled everything. And as I speak, hallelujah. And as I speak, these guys are here in this auditorium this morning just to give thanks to God. Listen, I always say, you don't have to like prayer. Just respect prayer. Just respect prayer. Just respect prayer. I heard a story, listen, of 3 guys who were asked to carry a load from one point to the other. One point to the other. The first one decided, they thought they were junior, so they were going to put it on their head. Put the load on their head and began to walk. Halfway, their head and their neck began to hurt. Couldn't go anymore, dropped the load, never made it to the end of the journey. Now the second guy, on seeing what had happened to the first guy, said, you know what, I'm going to carry this like a rucksack instead of putting it on my head. Put it on his back, started making his way. Things were okay at first, until a bit after halfway, his back began to hurt. The strain, he couldn't carry on. And then didn't make it to the destination because he had to drop the load. Now the third guy, on seeing what had happened to the first guy and the second guy, said, you know what? I'm not going to do this. I'm going to get a wheelbarrow and put all the load in and just carry it across. And that's what he did. And he got to the end. Now you're probably thinking the same thing that I'm thinking, that if those first two could have done it, could have used a wheelbarrow, why didn't they? I don't know. I don't know. But you see, that's how we behave sometimes. We all have burdens and problems and issues in life. The problem is not the issue. It's how we choose to carry it. That's the issue. It's how we choose to carry it. That's the issue. It says, do not be anxious about anything. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Can I pray with you this morning? Because you would complete your journey in Jesus' name. Your destiny is bigger than any pandemic. It's way bigger. It can't stop you. It's bigger than any stress you could possibly think. Can I invite you to stand on your feet? Father, I just want to thank you for every single person here in this room today, Lord. You said we should cast our burdens onto you, God, because you care for us. So, Father, we bring every burden, stress, Lord, the level of hopelessness. If you speak to nurses and doctors, they will tell you how hopeless people feel. But God didn't call us to be hopeless. No. Christ is our hope. Father, I bring every burden before you this morning, God. We bring it, we release it. I want you to speak to God right now. Speak to him right now. That situation that is causing you not to sleep, that is changing the way you even eat, that situation that is stressing, I want you to speak to him right now. Thank him for everything he's done for you. And lift up everything that is bothering you to him. God has a plan for your well-being, you know. He has a plan for your well-being. When you see scriptures like that in the Bible, it's not in there for the sake of just being there. He has a plan for your well-being. And today he's showing us the way. It is my prayer that nobody will be the same again after today. You were not brought to this earth just to suffer and just die. No, there's more for you. There's more for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift every single person here into your hands, oh God. Father, I pray that your will be done in their lives as you have it in heaven tonight, today, Lord. I rebuke every plan of the enemy concerning their lives, oh God. That, Lord, it would not stand. It would not stand. I pray for your peace. I pray for your healing. I pray for your strength, oh God, for these guys. And I ask the Lord, your will be done in their lives. Father, let testimonies come out of this word, God, to show the world that we have a God who is a rock. Give you all the glory, Father, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.